This is Community Voices on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS.
For co-host V Bonner, I'm Randy Eccles. Another event on Community Voices today, revitalizing downtown Springfield. What does it take to revitalize downtown? Housing, investment, culture, and more are part of the mix, as we'll hear from the panel of Downtown Springfield, Inc. Executive Director Lisa Clemenstadt, International Downtown Association President and CEO David Downey, and Chicago Loop Alliance President and CEO Michael Edwards. Centro President and the lead consultant on the Next 10 project, Jamie Gillis, is the moderator.
I want to briefly introduce you to the folks that are joining us today. Joining us today, we are pleased to have David Downey. He is the president and CEO of the International Downtown Association, which represents downtown organizations, downtown business improvement districts, and the like across the country in addressing their issues nationally and internationally as well. We also have Michael Edwards joining us, and he's the president and CEO of the Chicago Loop Alliance. He also previously worked in downtown Pittsburgh and downtown Spokane, so I'm sure we'll hear about those experiences as well. And then, of course, we have Lisa Clemenstadt joining us, who is the executive director of Downtown Springfield, Inc. So thank you so much all for taking some time to be with us today. Given where we are in this moment in time, still in the middle of a pandemic, in the midst of obviously shifting into a new presidential administration and looking ahead as to what that might bring, but also facing unknown challenges, including recession, economic recovery, and conversations around equity, and then possibly changed patterns of behavior for people for some period of time. Are downtowns positioned to thrive as we work through all of this? What do we need to be thinking about both short-term and long-term to ensure that they do? David, I'll start with you.
No small first question, I might add. Basically, what does the future hold for all of society? It's interesting when I think about the state of downtowns and how they will emerge from the pandemic. And the good news is they will emerge. And I will say wholeheartedly that they're very well positioned to emerge actually faster than other parts of most municipalities and regions. But I think the first thing to realize is that not every downtown is identical. We surveyed over 240 of our member downtowns, and we found that half of them believe that they are going to recover much quicker in the future than other parts of their city as a whole or a region. But those are the ones that have strong, as you'll find out later, you know, educational systems and higher institutions. They have a strong healthcare base in their urban center, and they have a lot of residents in their centers. We've seen where downtowns that are largely tourism-based and largely office-based are, of course, struggling more. So I think as we begin to think about how well positioned a downtown is, I would take caution not to compare all downtowns to one another, but think about the type of downtowns that you have or that you're, that Springfield is. Where are the things that Springfield needs to, you know, really move forward? You brought up all of the key aspects, you know, whether it's community health or equity inclusion or the future of office. You know, what are people's behaviors going to be moving forward? And I think those downtowns that have strong management organizations, partnerships between their public sector leaders, their private sector leaders, as well as their philanthropic organizations like the Community Foundation, those are the ones that are going to thrive most. If downtowns continue to focus on those areas which we are seeing hit hardest, meaning those that maybe need to look at residential and equity inclusion as a component of their rebuilding effort, those that are largely dependent on the office worker alone, we're going to have to rethink, you know, some of that for the next 3 to 5 years as part of our recovery. But those downtowns that are, you know, doing well and have those components already, they're just going to continue to accelerate their success. You know, where we have empty urban centers, they were largely office, we have equally thriving urban neighborhoods who are really home to where we're all living now in our work from home conditions. It's less about the downtown itself, and it's more about the leadership within private, public, and philanthropic sectors that will come together and think closely about the strengths and or challenges of your urban center, and then focus on that as your work moving forward. I think that's what Next 10 is so well positioned to be doing at this exact moment.
Thank you, David. Michael, share a little bit about this from your perspective there.
Cities, downtowns, commercial centers, they've been around for millennia. And I think they'll continue to be around here in Chicago. Chicago Loop Alliance, our organization, is budgeting for a beginning of a recovery in the loop. We're at 30% capacity now. We're hoping to be at 50 or 55% by July. We're budgeting and planning towards that. I think the pandemic has revealed the importance of groups like ours, groups like Lisa's. For example, we are very much into data collection now that we talked about but never did anything about. But now we've become quite a source for data that has gotten us more media coverage than we have in the last 7 years. Why we think that that's important in the short term is that small businesses, storefront economy, is, I think, the IDA typically calls all of that great stuff that people tend to see and think that that's why downtown is vital and an attractive place. We need to give them good data so they can make better decisions. And we think that that's real value in terms of their recovery. We're bullish on the future of downtown Chicago and downtowns in general. I do agree with David. You know, some will come back faster than others. But I do think there's a real opportunity moving away from big cities like Chicago and the cost and the expense and the density associated with that. And our real opportunities for places like Springfield and cities like that. So I think that Next 10 positions you to kind of capture these changing behaviors, whether they're folks my age that are looking to retire or looking for our second career, or if they're, you know, millennials. Entrepreneurship is another thing that I think will be coming. When this thing comes back, it's going to come back very fast. And I think we just need to be ready.
Thank you, Michael. Lisa.
I agree. I am also, you know, very bullish on downtown Springfield, but it depends on what we do next. Certainly the pandemic has shown that we are not where we need to be on residential living downtown, to David's point. We've been talking about that we need more residential living to return to downtown Springfield since about 1979. Will the pandemic finally be that reason that we really, really focus on it? I am optimistic on that because we are seeing a turnover in our downtown buildings from longtime families who really created the wealth in Springfield, in downtown Springfield. Several generations on, their family members have moved out of Springfield. They're not really engaged in the day-to-day life of what a downtown revitalization, you know, project would be. So when you look back at 2020 for Springfield, we've had more than 15 properties actually purchased by what I would call next generation property developers. People who live here, people who want to raise their families here, people who want to see downtown be different. I'm really optimistic about that. And the other big thing coming for us, David pointed out that strong downtowns have a strong medical presence and a strong university presence. 2021 will be the year that we finally see this innovation hub become a reality in downtown Springfield from UIS, definitely, and hopefully SIU as well.
Michael, what type of data you're providing or you've found most useful or most impactful?
We've had pedestrian counters up on State Street, which is kind of the core street for us. We've been tracking that. Actually, my board has been saying, like, why are we doing that? It's become very valuable now because we have year-on-year comparisons, which are horrible to look at, but very informative. We get parking data from some of our members. They give us, and then we aggregate that parking data. We also have the Hotel Association keeps their numbers, so we pull the Hotel Association's numbers in. We have CTA Transit. Kind of the big one is office occupancy, and this is like actually how many people are in the building. So for example, the Willis Tower typically has 5,000 people in there. They're operating at less than 10%, so there's less than 500 people rattling around inside that enormous tower. And then it's all on the backdrop of our positivity rate.
I can attest to the difficulty of getting office worker data. So I'm very impressed.
We're always trying to improve the data. So in the first instance, we had a property manager, CBRE, who was willing to share with us 12 buildings. It's not exactly perfect. But now we found out that these key card companies, Castle is the one we use here, they track that nationally, internationally. And so you can get a Chicago number in terms of actually how many people are in your building.
David, I do want to follow up with you to maybe touch on what you're seeing and what those conversations are that are happening with downtown organizations about what equity inclusion looks like.
Much of this, of course, stems from some of the racial injustice that we saw as kind of the second part of the impact from the pandemic. Not surprising, most urban centers, when we talk about, I think, what I'll say is the original downtown revitalization. We had city centers that were hollowed out in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And over the last recent decades, it's about been revitalizing our urban centers. No one's would be surprised to generalize that now we have urban centers that have gotten much more expensive, much more for the higher income, and a lot wider. As we come out of the pandemic and through all of the racial injustice awareness that is really kind of an opportunity that everyone has, rebuilding inclusive communities, I think, is the conversation that we're all having, working really hard to try and figure out how do we achieve that moving forward. If part of the downfall was the success of revitalization becomes too expensive and potentially too white, now let's think about all cultures, all economic levels, and how do we build communities that have opportunity for everyone? So whether that's housing attainability strategy, so that there is housing options for both the high wage earners, the workforce, the police and fire that can live in direct proximity to their city center, if not inside the city center. That's what we're talking about with equity and inclusion. And we're looking at it from a business development standpoint, minority and women-owned businesses and access to capital and things that are really kind of structural challenges right now. We have an opportunity to start to reverse some of those things when we think about revitalizing or recovering and rebuilding after the pandemic. It's a huge issue, but it's one that I think all great downtown management organizations are taking a really hard look at to understand how do we stop separating and start being more inclusive in all of our strategies. And it can even go all the way down to mental health and people affected by homelessness. These are all part of community. And when we talk about equity and inclusion, we're talking about it across the board.
Lisa, I'm going to come back to you. If you look at the input that's been received from the Next 10, the first thing you notice is that there are a significant amount of comments about downtown. I think we had the most comments about specifically downtown spread across a wide variety of topic areas. People are clearly passionate about having a vibrant city center in Springfield. Activity, residential, restaurants, culture, parks, trails, bikeability, all things that were mentioned. Can you share with us a little bit your take on where the opportunities for downtown Springfield are and where you see challenges? And I want to also weave into this a question slash comment that just came through, noting that there was some news today that preliminary census data showing that 79,000 people have left Illinois. What do you think of this data? How also do you see this impacting not only Illinois, but downtown specifically? And maybe you can share your thoughts on Springfield and that particular data as well. And then Michael, if you have anything to add to, you can comment as well at the end.
That's another big topic, the out-migration. Part of the reason I was talking so much about residential before was that Springfield was called the top five post-pandemic cities. And that's because of our size. I think someone made the point earlier that those of us with a smaller sized community possibly have the opportunity to capture some people that we hadn't before. You can live wherever you want. I heard a lot of stories over the last year of people moving back home to Springfield to start their families, moving from Seattle or Chicago or Boston back to central Illinois. So I think that that's also a big story. Opportunities otherwise, I really think to truly become that post-pandemic city, we definitely need more what I would call big city living in a less dense environment. So that really points to the fact that we do need to keep adding more apartments, but that is a great opportunity for us. Also, when you look at downtown Springfield, the barrier to entry for small businesses is very low. We have a really great track record of a business starting in downtown Springfield and in only 3 or 4 years' time, being able to move and expand to another part of town. And expansion is a huge key from that. You know, they've developed their success story in downtown Springfield. You can see that we do have a lot of fans who want downtown to, you know, be strong. The challenges are there. One challenge is that our cost of living is too good. It is very expensive to renovate older buildings in downtown Springfield and get the apartment rent that you're going to get when you can buy a house for that amount. That is why we definitely need subsidies and really targeted important subsidies. And I think our community really isn't so sure about that. They don't understand why a private investor would need some assistance from the government or other sources to make the numbers work. we've moved so far away from what downtown was for this community that there's an actual lack of belief in the return on investment that you can get in our downtown. We've lost sight of the actual wealth and value in our downtown. For example, Peoria had some data done about 5 years ago that showed that the wealth in their downtown per acre was 5 times greater than that anywhere else in their community. I'm sure that an analysis of Springfield would be very similar. I tend to think that people would question that a little bit, like, really, there's still more inherent wealth in the downtown city center than there is on the west side, for example, of Springfield. Another big challenge of ours as we move to become the city that we should be after the pandemic is really a lack of consensus that would come from something like a master plan. It's very unusual for a city of our size to not have a city planner and to not have a master plan for its downtown. Having to cobble together a strategy is not really the smartest way to go.
Lisa Clemens-Stott noting Springfield's need for a master plan. You're listening to Revitalizing Downtown Springfield on Community Voices, the community foundation for the Land of Lincoln's Next 10 project. When we return, how does Illinois population loss affect downtown? Visit nprillinois.org and click on Community Voices to read about or listen on demand to past episodes.
This is Community Voices on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS.